Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Famine for the word. And because of that, because
Cross, that's been a great fall, and we welcome you all. We see you all coming on. Just let somebody know we're on. Paul was telling Timothy the reason why there's a great falling, or there will be a great falling. He said, I need you to understand this, that in the last days there are going to be some very difficult times. Difficult times are happening if we understand. We see that day in and day out how difficult things are. And as I was sharing with my leaders today, I want to share with you on our radio broadcast, and you that's tuning in tonight, one of the reasons is because we as a body of believers, when we begin to minister to people, we get and let them know, we go and tell them and say, you know, if you turn your life over to God, you know, things are going to go better, going to be smoother for you, things are going to work out for you. You know, all you got to do is just give your life. And this is what we do when we begin to witness to people. Just turn your life over to God. Watch and see how things start changing in your life. And folk get so enthused about it. And when they get enthused about it, and then when they come in and they turn their life over to God and things don't work out the way that we just told them they were going to work out, it's because we really haven't given them the whole definition of it. We're just giving them a perfect part of what God will do. You know, yes, we want to let them know your life can change, things can change in your life when you give God your heart, when you give your life and turn your life over to Him. But we need to also let them know when you give your life to Christ, there's going to be some difficult days. You're going to have some hard times. They are going to come. And see, when we just leave that part out, and when people come into the house of God and expecting everything to go well, expecting everything to be good, you know, when it don't happen that way, then they lose, watch this, as I told them, they lose the enthusiasm. They lose their enthusiasm for the church. So now, because I've lost my enthusiasm for the church, I don't want to go there. Because you've told me something that actually didn't come true. You told me my life was going to change. You told me things were going to get better in my life. You didn't tell me I was going to catch hell left and right. You didn't tell me that things wasn't going to go right all the time. You didn't tell me that. I was expecting things to go get a whole lot better for me. And that's one of the reasons why there's been a great fall. And we got to let people know, when you turn your life over to Christ, yes, you're going to still go through some stuff. You're going to have some hard times. You're going to have some difficulties. The Bible said there are going to be some very difficult days. There's going to be some times you want to pull your hair out the very fabric of your head. There's going to be some time that you can't stop crying. There's going to be some time where you just can't get it together. Yes, you're going to have some difficult days. That's why we got to let people know the truth. This is what it's all about. People are falling away, turning away from the church because we're not giving them the truth. We're just giving them something to get there to watch. Watch this, to try to manipulate them. The time has come to come for quits, for manipulating people into the house of God. We got to give them the word of God. Yes, when you give your life to Christ, yes, things going to change. What's going to happen? You may not be in situations as long as you will be in them if you don't turn your life over to Christ. Not saying you're not going to go through. You're going to go through. There's going to be some perilous times. You're still going to hurt. You're still going to suffer a little while. Huh? But you won't stay there. You got somebody that will be there to help encourage you, to help you get back on your feet, to help you get back in order, get back on track. That's why you have the church. This is why the church is here, to help lift you up, to help you keep your enthusiasm to do what you need to do in your life. Then he said another reason why, 2 Timothy, I'm dealing with 2 Timothy, trying to get through a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It says, for people will love only themselves, from the New Living Translation. People will love only themselves and their money. You know, folk don't tell you, okay, you give your life over to Christ, you come in, things going to get well for you, but they got it going on. They got everything together. They got They got the house, they got the car, they got the money, so they only really care about themselves. Now, they done told you, they done brought you in, they done got you, encouraged you to come, but then they're not spending no time with you trying to help you get to where you need to be, because they only care about themselves. And that's why people are falling away when they come and see, we don't care about nobody but ourselves. We don't care about nobody but ourselves and our money. Oh, when I leave here, I can go do whatever I want to do. I can go buy whatever I want to buy. I can have whatever I want. Whatever I want. I don't have to worry about nobody doing nothing for me because I got what I need. And we got to get to the point of letting people know, look, in spite of where I am right now, I haven't always been there. I hadn't always had this. And always had all these things that I have. I struggle sometimes too. I suffer too. But it said, when you suffer for a little while, come on, we gonna suffer, but we'll suffer for a little while, knowing that I can get back on my feet. And when you suffer a little while, don't think that when you come, things are just gonna be good. Things are gonna go great. Everything gonna fall in place. No. Things are not going to always fall in place. You got to suffer a little while. But then when you're around folk that only care about themselves and their money, that's a problem. Watch, because now the Bible says, look, they're going to be boastful. They're going to be boastful and proud. Look, I got mine. You got to get yours. I know how to get blessed. I know how to do this. I'm going to get my blessing because this is what they're boasting about what they have. And now you may not have that, so what's happening? Now you're losing your enthusiasm to stay in the church because they're making you look like you're nothing, making it look like you don't amount to anything. Are you hearing me? And because of that, people are straying away, falling away, because we got boastful and proud people in the house of God, scoffing at God. I don't need to go to church. I got all my bills paid. I got everything I need. Well, I need to be there. Because you're actually telling God, you know, I don't need you. I can do this my own. See, I go to work. I get up and go to work every day. I don't need God. Then I told them, say they're disobedient to their parents. Look, I need you to get this thing spiritually. And they're being disobedient to their parents because, look, this is what I told them. I said, okay, you're saying, okay, my parent is deceased. My parent is gone home to glory. But watch, in the spirit realm, what I'm getting you to understand, getting them to see, trying to get them to understand, look, as your pastor, as your leader, that's your parent. And a lot of times in the house of God, people are being disobedient to their parents, to their pastors. Being disobedient to the parents. It goes far beyond where we are and what we can see. I'm your parent, your spiritual father, your spiritual leader. Let's go a little bit farther. It says being disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They're ungrateful because they're not respecting their leader. They're not grateful. They're ungrateful because what? They don't care about how the leader prayed for them. When you need something, you come at your leader. Oh, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for my family. I need you to pray for this. But you're ungrateful by being disrespectful and disobedient to them if they ask you to do something. I ain't got to do that. I'm grown. They don't care. Go get me a towel. Office there. Right in the bag. Right on the chair. They're ungrateful. They're ungrateful because they're saying, I don't need this. And this is what God, this is what get it. Watch. Then they will consider nothing sacred. They will consider nothing sacred. They're what I told you. Look, they don't even respect the anointing that's on your life. They don't consider nothing sacred. They don't consider, thank you. They don't consider the house of God being sacred. Mm-hmm. They don't consider what? The pulpit sacred. Folk come in and say, do whatever they want to say and do in the house of God because they don't consider it sacred. This is a sacred place. This is a sacred place with a sacred anointing, a leader. Leader has anointing. People don't respect the anointing. Y'all better tell somebody the bishop on tonight. Go and share this, and let them know we got to get this. This is why there's been a falling. This is why there's been a falling in the church. There's a falling that's taking place. And this is why it's taking place. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. This is what the Lord gave me when I asked him. Why is it, God? Because there's some things I want to know why. And that's why you ought to want to know why things are going on, what's happening, the reason for it. Because I say there's a reason for everything, and we're going to come in, we're going to get to it, then we're going to come in and understand that this has already been prophesied by Amos. In the book of Amos, it has already been prophesied what we're seeing, what's happening today. They will be, watch this, they will be unloving and unforgiving. What the Bible says, they're going to be loving, unloving, and unforgiving. When you have a lack of enthusiasm, you're unloving and you're unforgiving. Care about that. Care about people. That's why you hold on to stuff for so long. That's why you come in and that's why you can come into the house of God and act like, you know, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're unforgiving. You unloving, you still talking about them. You still trying to tear them down. You still trying to scandalize the name, kill the character. You still doing whatever you can to destroy them. Because you're unloving and unforgiving. You want to hold on to some stuff for so long. You can't even operate well in the church because you're still holding on to something. You can't even get your life right because you're still holding on to a whole lot of stuff. You can't come to a closure on something. You're missing out on a whole lot of stuff. You're missing out on blessings. You're missing out on deliverances. You're missing out on promotions. You're missing out on prosperity. You're missing out on a whole lot of things because you're unloving and unforgiving. You're unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Come on. Have you ever been around folk, I'm talking about, they just say whatever they want to say about you, don't care who's listening, who they talking to, they don't even care if you're standing right there in front of them. They will slander your name. Have no self-control. What you looking at me like that for? You don't know who I am. You know, I'm talking about no self-control. You say something, they take it the wrong way, and then they want to go off because they don't understand, and then they try to get in and understand. Y'all see why I couldn't let it go. Huh? They don't know how to get an understanding. They're just trying to just tear you out. They have no self-control. I'm talking about a joker that'll get mad, as they say, in a Mississippi minute. You say something that it don't sound right, they start going off. Come on, in the house of God, in the church. This is happening in the house of God. People that say that they love the Lord, they have the Holy Ghost. They have, I'm talking about they got the anointing. This is happening with people that say they love the Lord, have a relationship with him. These things are happening in the house of God. That's why there's been a falling. Why there's a falling away from the church. No faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is right here, 2 Timothy chapter number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm around verse number 3 right now. They will be cruel and they will hate what is good. They talk about or talk against, they don't like what's good. People will follow foolishness before they follow good. They hate what's good. People right now hate the word. As we say, coming in our lesson, a famine for the word. People don't want the word of God. They don't want the truth of God. They don't want the good of God. But they want all God's goods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want all of his goods, but they don't want the good. They don't want the word. Mm-hmm. They don't want nobody telling them the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. They don't want nobody telling them that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, they don't want nobody telling them that shacking ain't good. They don't want nobody telling them that sin is not the way you're supposed to live. They don't want nobody telling them that. They want somebody to go around and tell them, okay, if you turn around 3 times, you're going to get $1,000. If you jump up, run, and hit that door, you can call it and haul it, grab it. They want folk telling them that tomorrow they're going to have $1,000,000 in their bank account. They want to go around and tell them. They want folk telling them all kind of things, but they don't want the good. They don't want the unadulterated word of God.
Not listening.
Don't want the truth. They don't want the truth. But give me how much money I'm going to make. Oh, yeah, you preaching now. No, you fixing to have a whole row of cars in your parking lot. You showing up preaching, not preaching, preach on. You finna own all these businesses. Oh, man, I received that. Yeah, God. Oh, Lord, here they go. They done took off. Done took off in a run. But they don't want me to tell them, come here, Hezekiah, get thine house in order. For ye shall surely die. I don't know who he's talking to. Talking about why he want to kill somebody. Why he telling somebody they about to die. Huh? Don't want us to tell them you got to live holy. Live a holy life. Be holy for I am holy. We want all the creature comforts of life. But we don't want to follow the Christ that give us life, that died where we may have life. We got to understand, look, this is what's going to happen. They will be cruel. Folk will just be cruel, straight out cruel to you. They don't care. They don't care what they say. Just cruel. Just nasty, dirty to you. Just say flat out mean. They don't care. They'll tear you down. They'll make you feel to the lowest of low. Say again, D. Come on. Then they'll team up, as he said. They'll team up to get with somebody else to help tear you down. Just cruel. Slander, kill your character, destroy you. Watch. It goes a little bit further. Because the Bible says in verse number 4, 2 Timothy 3, verse 4 from the New Living Translation, they will betray their friends. Yeah, you better believe folk will turn on you. Don't think that just because they walk with you, they ride with you, they ain't gonna die with you. They ain't no real ride or die. They will betray their friend. Folk will betray you. They will turn on you so fast. I don't know what you're talking about. Look, you was right along with them. But now all of a sudden, child, I know they ain't no good. Because they over there talking about, what they saying about you. Now, they will turn on you. They will put you under the bus so fast. They'll betray their friends. Be reckless and puffed up with pride. Yeah, I said, reckless. They don't care. I did. Yeah, I told them you wasn't no good. And it might be true. It might be true. You might not be no good. It might be true. They don't care. They don't care if they destroy you. People will not care. They will tell you in your face, look, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to make you, I'm gonna make it where you lose your job. I'm going to come and harass. I'll call headquarters and try to get you fired. Do whatever they can do. They don't care. They're just reckless. Come on, get saved. Don't get saved. They need to get going on and die. They don't need to be around here anyway. Look at them. They get what they deserve now. This is what folk do. This is what they say. Not only that, watch this. Watch this. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. That's why there's a great falling, because people are loving the world more than God. They're trying to satisfy their own flesh. Trying to get, what is it that's good for me? What can I get out of this? Where can I go from here? This is what's going on. And watch this now. Watch this. Y'all follow me now, because the reason why there's been a great falling away in the house of God, right here in verse number 5. From the New Living Translation. I like how the New Living Translation put this. Watch what it says here. That the reason why there's been a great falling away is because people will come in, they will act religious. You have a lot of folk active in the house of God. They will act religious. King James say they have a form of godliness. They come in, they act like they're religious. You know, they know how to do spiritual colloquialisms. They know how to wave the hand at the right time. They know how to move, blow, this. They know how to move at the right time. They know how to do like some just hit. I got that right there. They know how to do that. Then they know how to go out and dance. They know how to do. They act religious. They know how to say amen. They know how to wave the hand. They know how to act religious. Come on over here. They know how to act like they can speak in tongues. They act religious. They know how to act like they know the word. You preaching the word. You preaching the word, and you ask them, what was the word or where did it come from? I don't know nothing about the word, where it come from, but you showed up preaching the word. They act religious. We have a whole lot of folks in the house of God. It's right here in the book. They act religious. They have a form of godliness. But they will reject the power that could make them godly. They act religious, and the reason why they act religious is because when they in here, they act like they're in tune to God. They come in, they act like they're in tune to God, but they're not in tune to God. They're just, as I said, they're just involved with God, but they're not in tune to God, because when you're in tune to God, you don't act religious. somebody, and the next minute you're hating them. When you're in tune, but when you're involved, when you're involved, you just do whatever you want to do. Act the way you want to act. You don't consider anything sacred. So now when I leave here, I can go back and do the same thing that I want to do. Because all I did was just put on an act in the house of God. But I'm still going over here up under the tree and cussing everybody out. I'm still going to do whatever I want to do. Talk about Sally Sue, Jim Bob, Jim Bob, any Bob, Nicka Bob. I'm going to do and talk about everybody in the world. I'm going to, because I'm just acting when I come into the house of God. So because I'm acting, when I get out there, I can be my real self. Y'all ain't talking. There's a lot of folk now. I can be my real self because when I come in here, I'm acting. But when I come out there, you know who I really am. Yeah, I'm a liar. Yeah, because I'm not acting out there. Yes, I'm a thief. Because I'm not acting out there. Yes, I'm an adulterer. Because I'm not acting out there. Yes, I'm a backbiter. I'm not acting out there. But when I come in here, I'm acting like I got it all together. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah, preacher. Preach. Yeah, Say that. Say that. You're acting. You're acting. Because we know how to act. We know how to act. But watch it. We reject the power that can make you God. I don't want to live right. I don't want to be right. I'm having so much fun out here. In this mean old world. You having fun out here in this mean old world? Come on. When I get out there, I'm so hard. I'm so tough. I read somewhere today, someone posted something today. I read somewhere today, somebody put on there, you got these youngsters out here talking about they ready to go in and do 15 to life and everything, but you can't even do 4 years of high school. You talking about how you ready to go into the penitentiary. I do 15 standing on my head. But you can't do 4 years in the classroom. There's a falling because we have so many actors in the house of God. We got some actors, and we're denying the power that will make us God, that will make us right, live right, that will make us act right, do right, love right, give right. We're denying that because we don't want that. Yeah, I'm doing the best I can. We don't want it because we want to stay right where we are. But we want God to still bless us. We want him to still bless us. Are y'all hearing me on radio land? We want him to bless us. But watch what it says in verse 5. The Bible tells us that you need to stay away from people like that. What do you mean? Stay away from people like that, because as I told him earlier, how in the world can people influence you not to come to church and go to the party, but you can't influence them to come to church? How could people can influence you to stay away from church to watch the game, but you can't get them to come into the church? How in the world can you influence to have somebody that can influence you, to turn your back on your friend, come on, but you can't influence them to pick somebody up when they fall? Those are the type of people you need to stay away from. And the crazy thing about it all is, it's happening right in the house of God. The world has more influence on Christians than Christians have more influence since y'all looking and watching and looking at me like that, how in the world can somebody influence you to miss your church and you sitting in their church? But they never come to your church because they can't miss their church. It happens in the house of God. People are influencing us to stray away from the word of God. Romans says, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Let's go see where it says. Let's go there. Let me read it for you. Let me show you. That's Romans 8, I believe, around 35. We're allowing people to come in between us and God, but we can't get them to come to God. Watch what it says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we are troubled or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger? Okay, let me go and read it from the King James Version. Maybe y'all understand a little bit better from the King James Version. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? That falls right back in our lesson. There's a famine in the word. Or nakedness? Or pearl or sword? Tribulation, you going through some situations in life, distress, you about to lose your mind, pull your hair out of your head, persecution, people are lying on you, scandalizing your name, famine, you ain't got no food in the cupboard, or nakedness, it's got all kind of naked folk running. Look here, y'all ain't talking to you for now. You running after the nakedness of pearl or sword. What shall separate us? Who shall separate us? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Folk are trying to take us out. They're killing us with their words. They're killing us in their thoughts. They're even killing us in their eyes. We're killed all the day long. And somebody say, if looks could kill, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Folk are looking for a moment, for a time to just take you out. They're looking for a reason to destroy you. They're looking for a reason to tear you down. They're looking for a reason to just walk over you, to do whatever they can do to you through negativity. They're looking for a reason to destroy you. But look, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In spite of what the enemy is trying to do, bring up against you, trying to take you out, trying to hinder you, we are more than a conqueror. In other words, we can get above beyond these things. We can get through these things. We can go through these things. We can go around these things. We can knock these things down that's trying to knock us down. Why? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded. When you know that you are more than a conqueror, he says, now I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. If there's no doubt in my mind that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So when you are persuaded, when you know you are more than a conqueror, and you are persuaded, you know that nothing can get in front of you or between you and God. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from worshiping. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from praising. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from believing. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from lifting my holy hands unto him. I won't let nothing stop me from communing with God, stop me from seeking his presence. I won't let nothing stop me. Nothing. Nothing, not even death. Nothing. I'm not going to let nothing. care how you look at me. Not going to change the way I serve. What you going out saying about me? I go change nothing. Don't let nothing separate me. I don't care if I do get in trouble. I ain't going to let nothing separate me. I don't care if I don't have, if I'm broke, busted, or disgusted. Ain't going to let nothing separate me. Come on. Nothing. We should not let nothing separate us from his love. That's why there's been a great falling by the wayside. 2 Timothy 3. That's why there's been a great falling. People have become lovers of themselves, only thinking about themselves. We are acting. Too busy acting. Come here acting like you got the Holy Spirit. And your life is all messed up. You can't even win a soul. You coming here acting like you got so much anointing on you. Demons come in, you can't even deal with demons. They done tore you up. Because you ain't here acting like you got some power. Nobody's getting healed, delivered, or set free. Because we're too busy acting. There's a famine for the word. There's a famine for the word. I got 10 minutes. There's a famine. A famine for the word. We go back and look at Amos. Amos chapter number 8. Our key scripture, verses 11 through 14. About 750 B.C., and an obscure farmer and shepherd was called by God to be a prophet, and his name was Amos. It's something when God calls you. Look. He was a farmer, a shepherd. He wasn't a CEO. He wasn't somebody that had $1 billion. Come on. God called somebody that you wouldn't even expect for him to call. A farmer, somebody that know how to work, know how to plant seed. Come on, yeah. He knew how to plant. Somebody that didn't mind working. Come on, he was a farmer. Amos, he was planting seed. Because he knew he needed something to grow. If you want something to grow, you got to know how to plant. See, that's why God don't choose a lot of folk, because you don't know how to plant. Come on, you don't know how to sow. God uses folk that knows how to work, that don't mind, look, being in the field. Y'all missing that right there. He don't mind. He uses folk that don't mind. Look, I'm going out in the field and plant. I'm going out in the field to sow some seed, sow this word. He was a farmer. He knew how to grow things. God said, because you know how to grow some stuff, I need to use you. You don't mind working. You know how to do some stuff. You know what season to plant what? Come on, you know how much water needs to be on what? You know how long it needs to be in the ground? Come on, you even know when to go fertilize it. Come on in here. You know how to tend what you're planting. You got to know how to take care of what you put down. Are you here? A farmer, he was a shepherd. He didn't mind taking care of sheep. He didn't mind taking care of people, looking after people. He was a shepherd. He didn't mind. He didn't mind leading them to the water. He didn't mind leading them through green pastures. He didn't mind leading them. Come on, y'all missing it right here. He was already showing that he was a leader. God wants somebody that can show him. Look, I'm a natural born leader. I don't mind doing this for you. So he calls him. because he wasn't afraid. Look, because I know sometimes you gotta be mindful. As he was a farmer, and watch this, he was a shepherd and a farmer, you know, because you got some critters that will come and try to, you know, eat up your crop and destroy your crop. Look, God help me up in here now. You got some folk that will come and try to destroy what you put down. They will come in trying to destroy what you're planting, destroy what you're building. They will come in, and you got to go out and protect your crop. Not only you got to go out and protect your crop, but now you got some sheep that you got, as a shepherd, you got some sheep that you got to tend to, because there are some wolves. There's some wolves that's going to come trying to eat up your sheep. You know, even in the house of God, you got some sheep, some wolves and sheep clothing. You got to know what is a sheep and what's not a sheep. Ooh, God. You got to know the difference. You got to know when the sheep is lame. You got to know when the sheep need to be tended to. You got to know how to deal with sheep. And he knew how to deal with sheep. So God said, look, I got a mission for you, Amos. What's my mission, God? What you want me to do? I need you to go and warn Israel of God's coming judgment if they did not repent. Because of a falling, because people have fallen by the wayside. Sometimes you got to go through some things, And because there's been a falling by the wayside. There's been a falling for people not attending church because they don't understand that in these last days there's going to be some perilous times, there's going to be some difficulties, and people loving only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. This is what's happening. Now, come on. This is what you're seeing here in our lives today. You're seeing in our churches today, in our time today. People are loving only themselves, their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Disobedient to parents and ungrateful. They consider nothing as sacred. And God said, I got a mission for you, Amos. I need you to go and tell them, the coming of the Lord is near, and it's time for them to repent. All those that think they got it going on, all those that think that I'm not real, all those that think that I don't have all power in my hands, I need you to go and let them know the coming of the Lord is near, and they need to repent. All those that are unloving and unforgiving, all those that slander others and have no self-control, come on, up in here, that is cruel and hate what is good. I need you to go and tell them the coming of the Lord is coming. That they need to repent, and they will, those that betray their friends and reckless and puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. I need you to go and tell them it's time to repent, because judgment day is coming. I need you to go and get the ones that's been acting religious. Come on, go and gather up my actors, those that's been acting religious and denying the power that will make them godly. And hanging around folk that they don't need to be hanging around. I need you to go get them. Tell them judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And sadly, the nation, they did not heed to the call to repent. And you got some folk that will not heed to this call as to why there's been a great falling by the wayside. As to why there's been a great falling in the house of God. People will not heed to this word that has been given and brought forth to them. They will not heed to this word, and judgment will catch them. Watch, as a result, they were led into Assyrian captivity. God gonna allow some things to catch you up. Capture you. In other words, there's going to be some things that's going to keep you in debt. You're not taking heed to the word of God. That's why you're going to always stay broke. You're going to be broke for a while. That's why you're going to be lonely for a while. Assyrian captivity. Those things that's gonna capture you. That's going to hold you down. There's gonna be some things that's gonna hold you down. Come on. understand some things now. It will happen. And part of Amos' prophecy was fulfilled. Concerned, as usual, a famine that will come upon the people. A famine for the word of God. It's happening right now. That's why churches are clearing out, because there's coming a famine for the word of God. There's a famine in the land. Are you here tonight? There's a famine in the land. There's a famine. And folk trying to text me tonight, trying to interrupt. There's a famine in the land. Come on. We got to take heed to what God is saying to us. Because if we don't take heed, he's going to allow some things. And that's why some of us are in situations in which we are in right now, because we haven't taken heed to the word of God. And because of that, we find ourselves in a bind. We find ourselves in a struggle. We find ourselves hurt. We find ourselves miserable. Because we're not taking heed to what God is saying to us. And here he is, sending his prophet, his man of God, to speak the word which was already given from his prophet Amos. He said, put it in my mouth to give to you. Watch now, because this was Old Testament Amos. Come on. But here it is in the New Testament as being confirmed of why we're going through what we're going through, because of the prophecy that took place in the Old Testament. And this is the outcome of why we are where we are right now. Are you following? He's showing us, even though I prophesied this, y'all quit texting me. Even though I prophesied this in the early years, now you're beginning to see it in your time. This is why they're being fallen. So now, once again, I'm calling for a state of repentance. Calling for a state of repentance. Take heed to the word. I'm telling you now, there's a famine for the word. Come on, there's a famine. They're not hungry. They're not thirsty for this word. That's why folk can influence them not to come get this word, but can go out and get stuff that's causing them to stay sick. Get things that causes them they can't handle certain situations in life. Don't know how to deal with certain things when they come across, because they don't have what they need to deal with what they got to go through. That's why folks up that night crying that night all night crying, because they can't handle somebody leaving them, because they don't have a word that will secure them when somebody will walk out of their life. They don't know that God can have somebody else walk right back in, and that's far greater, that's far more and better than that just walked out. That's why folks killing themselves, because they lose a job, because they don't understand that God can give them something better, a better position, a better job that they've had with better benefits, better pay, and less harassment, and more peace. Because there's a famine for this word. They don't have nothing that's going to help secure them or keep them. Because they're too busy listening to somebody that don't even have a word in them. And not coming to get what they need. Look, I'm not out of time. I'm not out of word. I got some more word. Look, I'm gonna stop it right there. Stop it right there. Because I want you to come back. I want you to get this. There's more. There's more. Look, there's a reason why our churches and places are looking the way they're looking today. There's a reason for this. We want you to understand the reason and what we need to do as far as our part to get it back to where God wanted to be. In other words, you got to be the mouthpiece. You got to be the prophet of God. And the only way you can do it is knowing his word. Get hungry for this word. Amen. Come on, we thank God. Thank God for you all that tuned in tonight via our Facebook Live tonight. And those of you that tuned in, listening in on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast tonight, we thank God for you. Tune in. Also, we thank God for you that's here tonight on campus. You didn't let the weather stop you. Amen. God is just good and grateful and all that he's done. We're also praying to give us safe travel back to our destination. And look, I hope and pray that everybody went out and voted. If you didn't early vote, that you went out and voted today. Because today, we needed you to get out and vote. Amen. And I hope you did that today, and I hope that we did what we were supposed to do, even the people that we voted for, and we voted for whoever we voted for, that we're sure and we're content in our votes. And look, no regret, I voted, and that's it. Hey, let's move forward. We understand and know that we are living in perilous times, as I said earlier. There's some difficult times. We're going to have some difficult times, but what are we doing about it to help change it? Amen. That's the question. You got to do something to help change it. What are you doing to help change it or make a difference in this world? What are we doing? So there's something that we have to do, and that's how we do it, by our votes. I heard President Obama say the other day when he was speaking, and they started booing the Republicans, and he said something to this nature, and I quote, he said, look, Republicans, they don't, you can't do nothing. They can't hear your vote, your boos, but they can hear your votes. Don't boo. They can't hear your boo, but they can hear your votes. So if we get out and do what we were supposed to do in the polls, if we can stand in concert lines and stand to get tickets and stand in line to go in concerts, truly and surely we can stand in line to wait and cast our vote, because our vote really do matter. Yeah, it don't matter if you don't do it, but if we do it, it really matters. Amen? So we're hopeful and grateful to you. Hope that you all went out and did what you were supposed to do today. Look, we'll be back on track. Been really busy working, doing other things. Back on track for a Bible enrichment, but we'll try to put out and let you know also. And we're not going to be on. I know I have a couple of followers and people that follow me, and as I've seen some this weekend as I walk at the game, they come in, man, we love just hearing you saying, doing what you're doing, stay on, and it helps us and it really encourages us. So I'm grateful and thankful to all of you that follow and tune in and listen in to our broadcast, to our Facebook Live, our Wondrous Word broadcast. I thank you for tuning in and supporting that. And if you like to just sow seed in the ministry, you can do it. You can sow that seed. A.A. Wright Ministries, P.O. Box 1468. Douglas, Georgia, 31534. You can do that. Whatever seed you want to sow into the ministry, do that. And we can continue to get this word out to God's people and those that God is trying to win. Amen. So we're thankful and grateful for you tuning in with us tonight. And we say we love you. Continue to stand strong in the word. God bless you.